Today on The Journey.
We need to be spiritually refreshed. When we get into patterns, they can become boring. What a crime for a walk with the living God to ever be considered boring.
Somewhere deep in your soul, the old song, "Is That All There Is?" plays a wistful tune. The exciting tempo that once animated your walk with Christ has slowed. Now you're beginning to wonder if this monotonous ballad will accompany the remainder of your days. Well, in this half hour, Ron Moore helps you evaluate that score and offers sheet music for a new song. Before that, I want you to know about Ron's uplifting devotional, "Be Strong and Courageous." It reaffirms that God is in control and has great things for you to do. "Be Strong and Courageous" is available at ronmoore.org, and I'll have more about it later in the broadcast. Now, here's Ron with the message, "Covenant Restored," on The Journey.
Well, I told you guys that my dad repaired pumps that go into the ground and pump oil out of the ground. And when he repaired these pumps, he would deliver them back to the drilling rig. And the drilling rigs were in the middle of a farmer's field. And so the big trucks would make a path right through the field back to the area where they were drilling. And of course, as they came and went, it would rain and ruts where the big trucks came in and out. When you went back to the oil rigs, you'd have to get in those ruts to get back in there. Now, dirt roads around that area out in the country are bad enough normally, but when it rains and it gets muddy, those ruts can get pretty deep. And sometimes when it rains some more, you get stuck in a rut. We can develop those same types of ruts in our lives, can't we? Young or old, high school, junior high, college, young adults, whatever stage of life you're in, the same old thing, even good things, over and over and over and over and over again become mundane and they lose their significance. Tony Evans calls this the same old disease. You wake up in the same old bed at the same old time in the same old house and wash the same old face and brush the same old teeth and then put on the same old clothes and head to the breakfast table where you eat the same old breakfast with the same old wife and same old kids. Get in the same old car and head down the same old road to the same old job where you spend time with the same old people doing the same old things, get back in the same old car, go back to the same old house, eat dinner with the same old wife and same old kids. And that evening, you do the same old things that you always do until you crawl into the same old bed, sleep on the same old side, and then get up the next morning to do the same old things over again. Same old disease. Anyone there? Man, it's a killer, isn't it? It's a killer in relationships. If you're married, it's doing the same old thing. It's a killer with your job if you are bored with what you do. And mostly, it's just a killer in your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you have been caught in the rut of the same old patterns, what a tragedy. When a relationship with the living God becomes ho-hum. So, believer, how is your relationship with Christ? Fresh? Full of energy? Or just kind of routine? A little boring, if you're honest. Just kind of going through the motions. Take your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 8 as we continue to work our way through this Old Testament book. Joshua chapter 8, we'll start in verse 30 today. I want to set the context here. You remember the great leader Moses, and right in the 40th year, commentators put it, God tells him to speak to a rock and water's going to come out, but Moses in his irritation with the fearful and faithless and grumbling people, he strikes the rock twice with his staff, And God says, because of your disobedience, you're not going to enter into the promised land. Moses begged God, pleaded with God to change his mind, Deuteronomy chapter 3. But God says, no, you disobeyed. You don't get to go. And God finally says, I don't want you to talk about it anymore. That's enough. Now, what do? When you don't get to do something you want. Sounds like an opportunity just to kind of go through the motions, doesn't it? That's what a lot of people do. They don't get what they want. They go through the motions. They're content to stay in the rut. But instead of sulking, Moses uses the years he has left to prepare his successor for success. Nelson Henderson has written, the true meaning of life is to plant trees under whose shade you do not expect to sit. And that's what Moses does. And in Deuteronomy chapter 27, he says, Joshua, when you get to the promised land, the people need to be renewed. They need to be refreshed. They need to be revived. And you need to revive yourself and refresh yourself and renew yourself in this covenant that God has given us. I won't be there, but you will. And so when you get there, here's what I want you to do. That's what Joshua is doing in chapter 8, verse 30. Joshua built on Mount Ebal an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the Israelites. He built it according to what is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stone on which no iron tool had been used, and on it they offered to the Lord burnt offerings and sacrificed fellowship offerings. Just like Moses had commanded, Joshua makes this altar. He takes the people from Gilgal, their home base, about 30 miles out to a mountain area, Mount Gerizim on one side, Mount Ebal on the other side. They stand in front of the mountain. The priests get in the middle around the ark. Joshua makes this altar. Nothing is to be on the altar. It's uncut stone. When God has the people come before the altar, he does not want them to see anything chiseled out, anything that would distract them from what's going on the altar. And there on the altar, they offer these offerings. There are five offerings that are offered throughout the law. The sin offerings and the guilt offerings were mandatory to atone for sins. Grain offering, and two mentioned here, the burnt offering and the fellowship offering, are voluntary acts of worship. You don't have to do it. It's up to you. Voluntary acts of worship. The burnt offering here demonstrated complete devotion to the Lord. They're burning an animal all up. That animal was completely given to the Lord. And it signified that when you do the burnt offering, you are giving yourself up. That animal is doing what you should be doing. You're giving yourself up to the Lord. And then the other offering, the fellowship offering, was in recognition of God's goodness and his provision. Again, these were voluntary offerings. Look at verse 32. And there in the presence of the Israelites, Joshua copied on stones the law of Moses, which he had written. Now, more than likely, Joshua did not copy the entire law. That would have taken days. Joshua probably copied Deuteronomy chapter 27 and 28, where the blessings for obedience and the consequences for sin are mentioned. Now look at verse 34. Afterwards, Joshua read all the words of the law, the blessings and the curses, just as were written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses has commanded that Joshua did not read to the whole assembly of Israel, including the women and the children and the aliens who lived among them. And so here, after Israel has crossed the Jordan, after the walls of Jericho have collapsed, after they have defeated Ai, there's a time of renewal. They're now in the promised land. They're ready to go. But they need that time of revival. They need that time of personal renewal. They need to be refreshed. And it was a day of celebration, and it was a day of personal revival, and it was a day of solemnity as they offered these sacrifices, knowing that that was done on their behalf. We need those days too, don't we? We need to be spiritually refreshed. We need to be spiritually revived. When we get into patterns, even good patterns, they can become mundane. They can become boring. And again, what a crime for a walk with the living God to ever be considered boring. We can become a casualty of what A.W. Tozer calls mechanical and spiritless religion. And when you have reversed into a mechanical and spiritless religion, your spiritual tank is on empty, and dangerous things can happen there. Author Gary Thomas writes this, again, see if you can relate. He said, I found that many people face this dilemma in their walk with Christ, talking about their tank on empty. Their love for God has not dimmed, but they've fallen into a soul-numbing rut. Their devotions seem like nothing more than shadows of what they've been doing for years. They've been involved in the same ministry for so long, they could practically do it in their sleep. It seems as if nobody in their small group has had an original thought for 3 years. And finally, they wake up one morning and say, is this really all there is to knowing God? I want us to think about where we are in that process. Again, this is not dependent on age. You can be any age and be in a rut. I want us to see where you are in that process spiritually. And then I want us to think about how can we move out of the rut into a time of revival and personal refreshing. In order to do that, I want us to turn to Mark chapter 12. And let's use as a framework the words of Christ as he tells us how we should truly love God. He's going to give us four elements, and we're going to relate these elements to like four tires on a car. All your tires have to be aired up, right? Three can be aired up to the right pressure, but if one's flat, you ain't going anywhere. And so let's look at these four as they relate to where we're headed in our spiritual life. Mark 12, verse 28, when the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Let's just work our way through this and use this, again, as a time of evaluation and maybe see how we can remedy some of these flat areas of your life. Here's the first one. Love the Lord your God with all your what? With all your heart. Here Jesus is speaking of worship. Here Jesus is speaking of adoration, adoring God. We hear people say, I loved her with all my heart. I adore her. The idea is the expression of, I want to be with this person. I can't live without this person. Are you that obsessed with Jesus? Is he the obsession of, not a person, not a thing, not a possession, not a career? Is Jesus the obsession of your heart? Do you truly worship him? Not coming and singing a few songs on Sunday. That's not the totality of worship. It's important. It's fun to be together. Energizing. But if it stops here, I'm going to say your tire's a little flat. There are many ways we can express our worship. And many things we can do to kind of break out of the rut. Singing, I mentioned that, is one of them. Sometimes we sing loudly to the top of our lungs. Sometimes we sing reflectively. But again, I want to say it's not confined to a worship service. If you find yourself in a spiritual rut, you can do what I do sometimes, go off by myself, because if I'm going to sing loudly, I'm probably going to be by myself for sure. And take some favorite songs with you and sing to the Lord with all your heart. And you don't have to worry about the person sitting next to you. You are singing to an audience of one. When we get to that point, when our worship is an audience of one, our tire has some air in it. Now, here in the worship service, if you're comfortable, sometimes we encourage you to raise your hands. But if you're uncomfortable doing it in public, then by all means, do it in private worship. This is not a style. This is biblical basis for worship. Psalm 63:4, I will praise you as long as I live. In your name I will what? Lift up my hands. Psalm 119, I lift up my hands to your commands, which I love, and meditate on your decrees. Psalm 134:2, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. New Testament, 1 Timothy 2, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. If you worship in the same old way, you're going to have the same old disease in your worship. Do something fresh. Get out of the box. Express yourself appropriately to God. Change postures when you pray. Psalm 95, come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. When's the last time you knelt before God? Acts chapter 9, Peter sent all of them out of the room. He got down on his knees and prayed. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the priests and Levites stood to bless the people. Nehemiah says in Nehemiah 1, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before God of heaven. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, then David said to the whole assembly, praise the Lord your God. So they all praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed low and fell prostrate before the Lord and the king. Again, if you've fallen into a rut in your prayer life, then you need maybe to change your posture. Our physical posture helps our worship. Don't get in a rut. Joshua prayed in the middle of the battlefield. We won't take time to turn there. You guys know this story, Joshua chapter 10. They did an all-night march from Gilgal to go fight the Amorites. They marched 25 miles in the middle of the night up about 4,000 feet of steep incline. They're exhausted. They get there. They surprise the Amorites in the day. They attack the Amorites. The Amorites start running. God sends hailstones down, kills more Amorites with the hailstones than Israel did in battle. And then you remember what happened. Joshua needed some more light. And so he prayed, Lord, give us more light. Let the sun stand still. And it says that that's the only time God listened to a man in the sense of nature, slowing down the rotation of the earth. So the sun stood still for 48 hours so that Joshua could take his army and destroy the Amorites as they continued to conquer the promised land. So maybe you're in the middle of a battle and you need God to make the sun stand still or some other miracle in your life. Man, use that time to reconnect with God. Our worship has to be refreshed. Can't do the same old things over and over and over again and expect to grow. Here's another one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. The word soul here speaks to the inner person, your will. It's your commitment to do what is right. Now, let's just be honest. If you're living in disobedience, you are stuck in a spiritual rut, period, the end. And you're not going to get out of the rut unless you choose to repent and obey. You cannot grow as a Christian living in disobedience. Jesus says in John chapter 14, whoever has my commandment and obeys them, he it is who loves me. If you're going to demonstrate that your heart truly loves the Lord, you're going to obey him in the actions of your life. Psalm 15 says this, God honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts. Oh man, there's one to write down. And I won't take time to read it, but Joshua 9, there's a great example of that. The Gibeonites heard that Israel's conquering the land, and they said, they're going to come and destroy us. So the Gibeonites, they got old wineskins, patched up wineskins. They went to the closet and got some old sandals out. Their clothes were torn and tattered, and they showed up to Israel, and they said, we have come from a far-off country, and we want to strike a treaty with you. Now, they only lived 25 to 30 miles away. And it says that Israel did not pray, did not seek God, but they went ahead and struck this treaty. And then 3 days later, they learned that the Gibeonites were only 25 miles away. They were part of the group that they were supposed to destroy. Now they have a treaty with them. They have made an oath. So what do you do when you make an oath? You keep it even if it hurts. Some in Israel said, let's destroy the Gibeonites. They deceived us. Let's strike them down. Joshua said, we can't. We made a treaty with them. Yeah, they deceived us. We should have been smarter. None of us can ever grow in our spiritual walk with Christ when we are living in disobedience. It does not happen. Don't ever expect a vital, passionate, exciting relationship with God if you're living in sin, whether it's gossip or greed, whether it's murder or materialism, whether it's lying or lust, it ain't gonna happen. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Love the Lord your God with all your what? Mind. We have to be those who know what we believe. We have to be those who read God's word every day. We have to be those who know the basic doctrines of Scripture. Or if we don't, we're going to fall for anything and everything that we see on TV or on the internet or YouTube or radio or online or another book we read. We have to know what we believe. And God tells the people in Hosea chapter 4, my people are what? Destroyed from lack of knowledge. You got to know what you believe. How can a young man, Psalm 119, keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's why reading the Bible every day is critical, so you don't sin against God, so that you're refreshed in what he has to tell you. Not going back to the same old favorite passage of Scripture every day. Reading the entirety, the whole counsel of God's word, so that he speaks to you. Here's the last one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and what? Strength. Here God's talking about service. First is our service to him. You can't serve two masters, he says in Matthew 6, either you love the one and hate the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve God. And there, Jesus compares it to money. Any other God would apply here. And we need to not only serve God, but we got to serve others if we're going to grow in that area. You see, if we have three tires that are aired up really nicely, and then one that's flat, what's going to happen? We're not going to go anywhere. You cannot grow if you are not serving. Going to a Bible study is not serving. You have to serve. You, my brothers, were called to be free, Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, but do not let your freedom indulge in the sinful nature. Now we think, oh yeah, he's talking about sexual stuff, right? No, he says rather serve one another. Some of you letting your freedom in Christ indulge your sinful nature by not doing anything. Four tires, right? Got to be aired up. Heart, soul, mind, strength. If you walk out of here with one tire flat, you're not going to grow spiritually.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. In a day of doubts and fears, of challenges and opportunities, you need the assistance of God's power and guidance. The children of Israel faced just such days as they entered the Promised Land. How they won the day with God's direction and strength is told in the book of Joshua. Now, in his encouraging devotional, Be Strong and Courageous, Ron Moore surveys that heroic story. In its pages, Ron shares thought-provoking insights that will equip you to spiritually imitate Israel's ultimate victories. Get your free copy of Be Strong and Courageous with a visit to ronmoore.org. Again, that web address, ronmoore.org, or call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
Can you imagine how the young men looked up to Caleb? They saw Caleb, 85 years old, come saying, Joshua, 45 years ago, I got this promise. I want it today. I'm just as ready to take it today as I was then. Can you imagine them saying, man, I don't know how many years God's going to give me, but I guarantee you this, every year of them and every breath of every day of every year, I want to be just like Caleb. I want to use every breath God gives me to serve him wholeheartedly. And I guarantee you, none of us were there, and it's not recorded in Scripture. But when Caleb died, I bet a word kept coming up. Wholehearted. Don't you want to know that whatever your age, every breath that God gives you, every breath you want to use in worship and honor and service to Him. Not sliding for home, not packing it up, but living with Him hard all the days of your life.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And remember that a free copy of Ron Moore's inspiring devotional, Be Strong and Courageous, is waiting for you in print or as a digital download at ronmoore.org. Or call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Have you missed one of Ron's messages or series? Well, you'll find them when you click the broadcast button at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Also, please keep in mind, the journey relies on your generous gifts to pay for the airtime that makes this broadcast possible. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.